Hey, today's daf is Shabbos daf Samech Aleph. We are holding on daf Samech Amid Beis. We are about 7-8 lines before the end of the page at Arba Ochamesh Mutter at the two dots. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer very much for the sponsorship. So we are first going to discuss this morning the continuation of the discussion about Sandal HaMasumar from yesterday. And we said that there is some number of nails that you're still allowed to have in the sandal. So we're going to discuss how many nails that is. We were in the middle of discussing that, but we'll continue that discussion. And then we're going to move on to the line in the Mishnah where the Mishnah had spoken about lo biyachid, that a person is not allowed to go out with one shoe unless he has a makkah, unless he's injured in some way. So we're going to explain which foot would he put the shoe on the injured foot, on the non-injured foot, and why it is that makes any difference, the fact that he's injured, that all of a sudden he's allowed to go out with one shoe. But that's going to lead into a discussion of how one is supposed to put on his shoes in the morning. Which shoe do you put on first? Do you put your right shoe on first? Your left shoe on first? Is there some sort of compromise between the two? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the reason to not go out with tefillin on Shabbos, but that if you do, you're not chayev chatas. Why is it that it's aser, but yet apparently not a real masui on a daraisa level? And then the majority of the daf, starting from toward the bottom of Amud Aleph, is going to be about kameos. The Mishnah has spoken about wearing an amulet on Shabbos, and we're going to define what exactly is a kameya mumcha versus a kameya she'eno mumcha, both in terms of how many times does it have to work in order for it to prove itself, and also how do you prove that the kameya is good, and how do you prove that the writer is a mumcha, meaning how does each one happen? How do you establish chazaka for each one in terms of the kameya and in terms of the writer of the kameya? And then the Gemara is going to raise the issue whether a kameya that has a Shem Hashem in it is yesh bo kedusha or ain bo kedusha. Is there kedusha to a kameya? So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities of what the shaila even is. What do you mean? Does it have kedusha? Does it not? L'may nafkamina whether it has kedusha or not. So three possibilities of what the shaila is even about. We're going to try to bring a raya. We're going to try to reject the raya that we bring to this issue of whether kameya is yesh bo mishum kedusha or ain bo mishum kedusha. So let's pick up on daf Samech Amud Beis. We are holding again, beginning of the line, Arba O Chamesh Mutter, about six lines into the wider lines on Daf Samech Amud Beis. So the Brice had said that if remaining in the shoe, in the sandal, there are Arba O Chamesh, there are four or five nails that are sticking out, Mutter, then it's Mutter. Ask Mar Hasha Chamesh, Ari Arba Mibai? Well, obviously, if five is Mutter, then of course four is Mutter. If you're allowed to have up to five nails, why do you have to say that there are four? So Tosus points out that sometimes the Gemara asks this kasha, and sometimes the Gemara doesn't ask this kasha. I mean, a lot of times when there are certain numbers, the Gemara will give two different numbers, and sometimes the Gemara will say, well, obviously, if one number is okay, then the larger number is for sure, or the other way around. So what determines when the Gemara asks this kasha and when it doesn't? So Tos says, whenever it's evident from the Gemara that the Gemara is just trying to say a whole lot, and it just uses numbers to say a lot, you know, 100, 1,000, you know, something like that, then we're not going to ask hashta meya sa elef mibay or hashta elef meya mibay. We're not going to ask something like that. But when it seems that we're being more precise, that the number really matters, and then we give two numbers, so that's where the Gemara is going to ask such a question, that if the number really matters, then why would we give two numbers? So Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista explains, Arba misandal katan, v'chamesh misandal gadol. That it depends on the size of the sandal. That if it's a smaller sandal, then you have four. But if it's a larger one, then you have up to five. The Re'im Horovitz in the back of the Gemara says sandal katan means it's a sandal that you can that's usable without any straps, without any ritsuos. So that extra nail corresponds to the nail that's going to hold the ritsua onto the sandal. Meaning it's not about the person's shoe size per se. It's about the size of the sandal, meaning how many parts there are to the sandal in terms of how many nails it's going to need. V'Rebbe Matir at Sheva. Then we said that Rebbe's Matir up until seven. So says Gemara Vatanya, but the Braisa tells us as far as a sandal anota, as far as a sandal that's uneven because part of it, part of the sole is worn out, Rebbe Matir at Sholosh Esrei. The Rebbe's not just Matir at Sheva, he's Matir until 13, says Gemara Nota Shaini. In a case where it's Nota, in a case where or part of it is worn out, then he's going to be more makel and he's going to be matir up until 13 and not just up until 7. But that's a different situation. Hashla das zahachi. Well, once you're going to say that no teshayni, then Rabbi Yochanan nami lo kasha. So the question that we started with on Rabbi Yochanan is also not a question where he said that if the nails are made for decorative purposes, you could have up until 5 sandala nota. We find out more. We find up until 7. So it's not a kasha because you could just say that Rabbi Yochanan holds like a minasin. He's also matir only 5. The fact that the brisa allows 7 is nota shiny. Is that in a case of nota, it's different. In a case where the shoe is already uneven, then we're going to allow a different number of nails to be sticking out. Now we have a machlokas tanoim in a brisa, whether you're allowed to whether sandal and masumar is muktza. Are you allowed to be metaltel tzorach gufo? So the Gemara paskins this halacha. Amar Rav Masna varmila Amar Rav Achdovi bar Masna Amar Rav Masna. Ein halacha k'rablozer Rav Shimon. We do not paskin like k'rablozer Rav Shimon holds that you're not allowed to be metaltel sandal and masumar. We hold that it's mutter to be metaltel sandal and masumar tzorach gufo. That you're allowed to move it when you need it. So it says Mar Pshita. Of course we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. There's a basic klalim psak. Yochid v'rabim alacha k'rabim. I mean, what the Gemara is trying to say is that there's a reason that there are klalei psak. Klalei psak are not mere observations that generally speaking when you have a yachid versus a rabim that we paskin like the rabim. Klalei psak are meant to tell us to save us a lot of time, that the Gemara doesn't have to go out of its way paskining in each machlokas because we have klalim, we have rules. So whenever the Gemara goes out of its way to paskin in a machlokas, when we already have a rule that covers the machlokas, so the Gemara is going to raise the question, why do you have to go out of your way to paskin? The whole point of the klalei psak is that you shouldn't have to bother paskin because it should be obvious. The rules are there to make it obvious. Yachid v'rab melacha k'rabim says we're no mal detema mistavra taimid rabbi lozer rabbi Shimon ba. I might have thought that Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon is the more logical argument, meaning there are exceptions to Yachid Rab Malach Karabim if the Yachid has a much more compelling argument. So Kamash Milan therefore has to tell me that no, Rabbi Shimon Lezer's argument is not so compelling to even defy the rule of Yachid Rabim Halacha Karabim. I'm Rabbi Chiyah, Lav Dekarli Bavloi Shari Yisuri. If not for the fact that they would call me the Babylonian who's Matir Yisurim, Rabbi Chiyah came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, so he was known as the Babylonian because he was not a native territory, he was not a Sabra. So Sharina Beituva, he says, I would have been matir way more nails than all the other Rabbanim are being matir, but I know that that's going to ruin my reputation as a as a posek. This is something that's interesting. We find this a couple of places in Shas, that a person has to be wary of issuing a psak. There's halach in Yeridaya, that a person has to be wary of issuing a psak that's going to be tamua l'rabin, that people are going to think is strange, that people are going to think is off, that it's just different, even if you believe it to be correct. Because what the reasons are is interesting. I mean, why that would be is an interesting question. I mean, you would think, what do you mean? You got to paskin the Dvar Hashem, whatever you believe to be correct. So that's what you're paskin. What difference does it make what people are going to think about you? But part of it is that you also have to be someone who's capable of teaching the Dvar Hashem. And if people think you're strange, then it's going to be difficult to have the impact of being able to teach the Dvar Hashem. So to give a psak that's well, the rabbi you're not allowed to do. But similarly, in addition to that, not just a psak hatamul rabbim, but if you're going to be known as a mekil, so that's also something that people you're going to lose the trust of people if everyone is going to think that you're just a big mekil. So you find that by Bati Din also the Beidina Dushar Mishcha, they didn't want it to be known. The Gemara of Dazara tells us as a Beidina Sharia, as a Beis Din that's mekil on everything. So they were very wary of their reputations. Someone just mentioned in the chat over here that Rav Moshe, that Rabbi Talmud said that Rav Moshe was very upset when people referred to him as a mekel, which makes sense. Someone, they used to think Rav Moshe is a big mekel. Rav Moshe was mamish right down the middle. Well, he paskin the Dvar Hashem. He wasn't really so concerned with what people's previous thoughts were before they asked the shaila. You know, someone of Moshe's first tshuva and all the vigorous motions that you're allowed to wear a small yarmulke. So people got upset. That's got to be your first tshuva to that you're allowed to wear a small yarmulke. He said, well, that's the Dvar Hashem. That's the halacha. It didn't bother him. It was no different than any other psak in Rav Moshe's mind. But anyway, so he said, if not for the fact that, you know, I'm an outsider coming in over here, says Rabbi Chiya, and they're gonna think that you know, these Babylonians are coming in and they're ruining all the standards of halacha because they're just being makil. So I would have been makil way more. V'kama, how much more? V'pumadisa amrin eshen v'arbon. Pumadisa, they said up until 24 nails. V'sura amrin eshen v'tartin. Sura, they said 22. Amr of Nachman Yitzchak v'simenayich. The way to remember a mnemonic to remember which one was 24 nails and which one was 22 nails. Ad da'asim v'pumadisa l'sura chaser tarti. That when a person goes on his walk from Pumadisa to Sura, he might lose two nails off of his shoe. So that's how you get from 24 to 22. The Ran and the Meiri point out that it's clear in our sugya that a sandal and masumar is only going to be usher if it's similar to the types of sandalim that they used to have in the times of Chazal. So Bizman Hazay, you're allowed to go out with a sandal and masumar, even if it's got nails sticking out, because it's not similar to the sandalim that they used to have. So the Rush writes that the tsura of the sandal that they used to wear is totally, we have no idea what it looked like. We have no idea what their sandal was. But the Ran then points out that if you have a chashash that your sandal could come off, that it might fall off of your foot, and it's going to fall off, you might come to take it. So then nagu lesser. Then we have a minuk to asr it. So it's not even for the reason of the Gemara. It's a totally different thing. We made our own gzeira that if you're afraid your shoe is going to fall off, then it's asr because we're afraid you're going to be metaltel. So Tashmitz writes in the tshuva, what do you mean we're going to make our own gezeira? You can't make our own gezeiros. Chazal never made such a gezeira, so we can't be mosif other isurim. Halavai, we'd be able to keep all the gezeiros that Chazal already gave us. So in the Tur, he quotes the din of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to go out with a sandal and masumar on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but he says sandal and masumarim shalanu are not included in the isur. Our sandal and masumarim, you wear cleats, it's not included in the isur. It looks nothing like the sandal and masumar of Shas, but he says there is a minug to be to asr it anyway, and ain lefrotz geder. That's what the Torah writes, but the Shulchan Aruch simply doesn't quote this whole halacha, that this whole sugya is not lemaisa, because we simply don't have, it was a very specific gezeira against a very specific type of shoe. We simply do not have that type of shoe, and we're not in the business of making new gezeiros, and therefore we don't quote this in Shulchan Aruch at all. V'lo b'yachid b'zman she'ein b'raglamaka. The Mishnah then went on to say, and we don't go out with a single shoe unless you have an injury on your foot that would suggest that it's appropriate. So hayesh bragalamaka nafik. So apparently, if you do have an injury on your foot, then you can go out wearing one shoe. Well, behemi nayu nafik. Which of your feet gets the shoe? The injured one or the non-injured one? So amar Rav Huna bosa sheyesh b'maka. The injured shoe gets the injured foot gets the shoe. Alma kasavar sandalu shum tzarafid. Because the sandal is there to protect you from the thorns and thistles and rocks and pebbles that are on the road, and therefore, when you see that a person is limping and you know that he has a makkah on his foot and he's only wearing one shoe, you understand that the reason he's not wearing a shoe on his healthy foot is because he must have hard bottoms of his feet and it doesn't cause him great tsar. But since he has one injured foot, that foot needs a little extra protection. So the way Rashi explains, no one is going to be choshed that he's carrying the second shoe, because everyone realizes that it must be that if he's willing to walk around with one bare foot, that it doesn't bother him, that the rocks don't bother him, and it's only because he has an injury that he needs a little extra protection on the injured foot. That is Rashi Lufi, one of the understandings that Rashi quoted in the Mishnah as to why it is that you can't walk out with one shoe. If you recall, Rashi in the Mishnah, we mentioned yesterday, gave two explanations why you're not allowed to go out with a single shoe. One of them in the name of Yerushalmi, that they shouldn't be choshed him, that the Ritzua must have come off of his second shoe, and he's carrying it tachas yadav or begadav, that he's somehow carrying the shoe, hiding it in his pocket or something, and that he's violating otzah. And the second reason Rashi quotes B'Shem Rabosav is that people might laugh at him because he's only going with one shoe, and because people are going to laugh at him, he might come to remove the second shoe and then come to carry that second shoe. So the explanation of this line in the Gemara was within the Shita that I mentioned, at least, was within the Shita that it's not about people laughing at him, but it's about people being choshed that he's already carrying the second shoe and he's hiding it somewhere. So there's not going to be a chashad that people are going to have if they see that he's injured, because when they see that he's injured, they're going to realize that he's just putting, he must have only put one shoe on in the morning and he's just doing it for a little extra protection on that foot. V'chia barav amar ba'os ha'shein ba'maka. V'chia barav says, no, you put the shoe on the foot that's not injured. It must be that a sandal is made for a person who wants a little extra enjoyment. And this guy, it's clear that he's an istinus. And zu sheyesh b'maka makasa mulchachas aleha. But a guy who's injured, it's obvious that the reason he's not wearing the second shoe is because he can't get it on. Because if he puts the shoe on, it's going to hurt his foot. Meaning, if he has some sort of bruising or a break in the foot, to put on the shoe could be very, very painful. And everyone's going to realize that's why he's not putting on the second shoe. So, va'af Rabbi Yochanan savala lahad Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan sides with Rav Huna and not with Chiya bar Rav. Damele Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shem bar Abba havli mesnai, that Rabbi Yochanan told Rav Shem bar Abba, bring me my shoe, yavle diyamin, and he only brought him his right shoe. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan says, asisomaka, you made it like it's injured. Meaning, since Rabbi Yochanan holds that you have to put on, and this is a point that the Gemara is going to mention soon, that you have to put on your left shoe before your right shoe. So he told Rabbi Shem bar Abba that if I put on the right shoe that you gave me, well, then I'm going to be stuck. I'm not going to be able to put on my left shoe, because the left shoe is supposed to be put on first. And therefore, I'm going to be stuck all day wearing one shoe if I put on the right shoe that you brought to me. You probably put on the shoe that you brought to me. So it turns out that you have now made it that it makes me look like my right foot is injured. So from Rabbi Yochanan commenting that by you bringing me my right shoe, it's going to make it look like my right foot is injured, you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the shoe goes on the injured foot, not on the non-injured foot. V'dilma k'chia barav sfirulei, says, Marna, maybe he holds like k'chia barav. Avachikam, what he meant to say is, asiso shal smol maka. He said, no, by you bringing me one shoe, my right shoe, and if I were to put that on, since I won't be able to put on my left shoe afterwards, it's going to make it look like my left foot is injured. How do you know that Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's going to make it look like my right foot is injured? Maybe he's just saying it's going to make it look like my left foot is injured. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan tameh. But this idea that Rabbi Yochanan got upset about receiving his right shoe first is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. Dam Rabbi Yochanan kitfilin kach minolin, matfilin b'smol af minolin b'smol. That just like the shoes should match the tefillin. Just like tefillin goes on the left, so the left hand gets preference over the right when it comes to tefillin, so too when it comes to shoes, the left gets preference over the right, and therefore the left one goes on first. Meaning the Torah gives extra chashivos to the left hand when it comes to tefillin. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Da'avid points out that the comparison between Menalin and Tefillin, between shoes and Tefillin, is not only a simin, it's the reason that we put the left shoe on first. Because Tefillin is a model for the shoes. Why in the world? What's the connection between Tefillin and shoes? So the Levush and Rabbi Kiva Eger point out that it's based on the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Peites Amud Aleph, says, Bischar that Avram Avinu said to Malki Tzedek, that he's not going to take from him Michut V'atzroch Na'al. He said, I'm not interested and you're paying me anything. Michut v'atzroch na'al. So the Gemara says, his children, Avram Avinu's descendants, were zochet to two mitzvos. Chut shel tcheles, uritzua shel tfilin. So it was zroch na'al that Avram Avinu said that was the cause for us to be zochet for the mitzvah of tfilin. And that's why we dafka associate the tfilin with the shoes. And the Levush just adds, based on that the comparison to tfilin is also that just like tfilin, you put on the shalyad on the left hand, and then you put on the tefillin shal rosh, which is more rightward on your body. You don't put on any tefillin on your right hand, but you put on your left hand, and then you go toward the right, because your left hand is all the way on the left of the left extreme of your body, and then you go to more toward the right to the center where you put on your shal rosh. So too, when you put on your shoes, you start with the left and you move rightward when you put on shoes. Yushalmi has a different reason. He says the reason that Rabbi Yochanan says says to put on the left shoe first is because he holds that that you put on a shoe on the foot that has a makkah. So if you were to put on the right shoe first, it would look like the right shoe, the right foot has a makkah. But we try to be mechabed the yamid, and so it's disrespectful to the right foot. The Yerushalmi says to put on the right shoe first because we're always mechabed the yamid, and if you're wearing a shoe on only the right foot, it's going to make it look like the right foot is injured, so it's disrespectful to the right foot. We'd rather disrespect the left foot. So that's Yerushalmi, but against the Bavli. In the Bavli, we have that it relates to tefillin. So ask the Gemara, you're telling me that you got to put on your left shoe first, meisvei, but I'll ask you a question from Brisa, Kishu Noel, Noel shall yamin, vacharkach Noel shall small. Brisa says right foot and then right shoe and then left shoe. Am Rav Yosef, hashu detanya hachi, v'am Rav Yochanan hachi. Well, if we have a Brisa that says one way, and Rav Yochanan says another way, David hachi yavin, David hachi yavin. It must be that either way is good enough. The way Tosus understands this is that they're not really arguing, that normally we always favor the right, and Rabbi Yochanan is mechadish, that you're allowed to favor the left. And what the Rabbanan are saying, what the Braisa is saying, is that even though there is a comparison between shoes and tefillin, and therefore you might think you must put the left on first, nah, you're allowed to put the right on first. So each one is saying a chiddush in what you're allowed to do, not in what you must do, and therefore, David al-Chiyavid and David al-Chiyavid, you could do whatever you want to do, but the Tosus does point out that you should pick a side and do that bikvius. You should have a routine that you do every day, and you shouldn't switch back and forth, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan got upset at Rabbi Shem Barabba for bringing him the wrong shoe, because Rabbi Yochanan's personal practice was to put the left shoe on first, but because if otherwise it's difficult to understand what he was getting upset about, if really you're allowed to do whichever way you want. Amalei Abaye, Dilma Rabbi Yochanan Hamas Nisalav Ashmielei. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan's just unaware of the Braisa, and he really is saying differently than the Braisa. V'yev Ashmielei, have a Hadabay. And who knows? Maybe if Rabbi Yochanan was aware of the Braisa, he would have changed his mind, and therefore, we should do like the Braisa and put on the right shoe first, because maybe Rabbi Yochanan paskin the way he did simply because he was unaware of an earlier source. And we do say that sometimes, that if you have a posek that was unaware of a major source that came earlier, but he didn't have access to it, then maybe we have to assume maybe he would have changed his mind. Rav Vadi Yosef writes that way in his hakdama to in his haskama to his son's edition. One of Rav Avadia's sons put out an edition of the Rambam's Tshuvas Pe'er Ador. So Rav Vadia writes, it's important to look at the Rambam's Tshuvas carefully, because Beit Yosef did not have all the Tshuvas of Rambam. He only had the Yad HaChazaka. But maybe if there are things in here that go against Maran Beit Yosef, maybe that would tell us that Maran Beit Yosef would have said differently, that the Shulchan Aruch would have passed him differently, and then it would change the Pesach. Rav Vadia thinks that others say not that way. They say that the Mesorah has it, Hashkacha has it in such a way that the Mesorah went where certain things were not available. Why is it that the Rambam's commentary to the Talmud, the commentary to the Gemara that the Rambam wrote, which we know he wrote, is not available to us? Hashkacha had it, that it shouldn't be made available to us. Maybe because if we would have had it, we wouldn't have been able to say all this Geshmaka Brisker Torah in the Rambam, because we would know exactly what he meant. Whatever the reason is, Hashkacha had it, that it's not available to us, and that's the way the Ribbono Shalom wanted the Mesorah to develop. But anyway, so he says, what the Gemara is saying over here is, had Rabbi Yochanan known the Braisa, maybe he would have said like the Braisa, V'inami Shmielei, Kasavarein Allah, or it could be the opposite, that Rabbi Yochanan heard of the Braisa and still paskined against it because he held differently. So how do you know that there's no real machlokas over here? And you could do whichever way you want because they're not really arguing. No, maybe they are arguing and Rabbi Yochanan was unaware of the Braisa, or was aware of the Braisa and decided to paskin against the Braisa. Decided to paskin against the Braisa, that's a little bit odd. The Gra writes in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simon Beis that Abaye is just saying this L'Rav Chedemilsa. It can't be that Rabbi Yochanan decided to paskin against a Mishnah or a Braisa, because then every single time in Shas where you ask on an Amora that there's a Tana against you, you could just say, he decided against it. He decided not to paskin that way. No, Amoraim do not get to decide to paskin against the Tanaim. In the Reim Horovitz, in the back of the Gemara, explains of Rabbi Yochanan that who said Kitfilim Kach Menalim holds that it's Machlokas Tanayim. It's a beautiful Vardi points out. The Gemara Menachos in Daf Lamed Zayin has a Machlokas about why it is that we wear Tfilin on our left hand. And one opinion says that we darshan Yadcha as spelled with a hey at the end, as if to say Yad Keha, that it's you put it on the weaker hand. If that's correct, then the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that the left hand is the preferred, more chashuva hand when it comes to tefillin. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Ukshartem lios al yadecha, uksavtem. So the Gemara says that there's a link between kshira and ksiva, that just like ksiva's tefillin is done with your right hand, so too when you tie your tefillin onto your hand, when you affix your tefillin to your hand, it should be done with your right hand. The only way to use your right hand to affix your tefillin to your arm is if you're putting it on your left arm. But really, that drush is telling us that we're showing chashivas to the right hand by putting tefillin on the left hand, because we're doing it with the right hand. We're therefore it's showing chashivas to the right hand. So nafkamina would be, which shoe do you put on first? I understand it's supposed to be modeled after tefillin, but by tefillin, what are we doing? Are we showing chashivas to the left, or are we showing chashivas to the right? So Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's a machlokas tanayim, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is okay disagreeing with the Braisa, because he thinks that the Braisa is taking one side in that machlokas tanayim. Amrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Yirei Shemayim Yotzei Yudei Shteihen. The Yirei Shemayim should try to be Yotzei both Shitos. Manu Marbrei Deravna. Who's a Yirei Shemayim that would be Yotzei both Shitos? Marbrei Deravna. We already had such a thing in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamites. We had a Machlokas about Bracha Rishona, when you have a Gadol and a Shalem. You have a larger loaf of bread and a complete loaf of bread that's smaller. Which one do you say a Bracha on? So the Gemara said, Yirei Shemayim is Yotzei Yudei Shneihen, puts them both together and is Yotzei both. And the Gemara says, who's the Yirei Shemayim? It's Marbrei Deravna. It's the same person. Say, hey, Chiyavid, what did he do to be Yotze both? Siyem the Yemine velo Katar, Siyem the Smel Eve Katar, and then Vahadar Katar the Yemine. He'd put on his right shoe first, but not tie it, then put on his left shoe, then tie the left shoe, and then tie the right shoe. And that way, he showed preference to the right, foot by putting on the right shoe first, and you show preference to the left foot by tying the left shoe first. And that way, he's Yotze Kaladeos. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, like Marbrei de Ravina, that to be Yotze, both Shitos, put on your right shoe first, but tie your left shoe first. The Ramah then quotes Tosos in our Sugya, that by shoes that are slip-ons, then you should just put on the right one first. It's only by Kshira that we have a preference to small, that we have a preference for the left side. And what about when it comes to other begadim? Let's say you have other begadim that have a right and a left, and also require some sort of tying, something other than shoes. I don't know, boxing gloves? I don't know what other begadim you'd have that require tying. But let's say you have other begadim where there's a right and a left, and you have to tie one and not the other. So that's machlokas haposkim, how we do it. The Rav Shulchan Aruch, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, says that by each beged that has kshira, you're always makdim kshira small liyamin. That tying always goes left side first. But in the Arts of Sachayim, he writes differently, that when it comes to kshira, it's only by the shoe that we say that the left comes first, but by everything else, we always assume that it's the right that comes first. Why is it dafka by the shoes that the left comes first? Because the shoe has that special connection to tefillin, based on Avram Avinu, Michut v'atzroch na'al, but everything else doesn't have a special connection to tefillin, so there's no reason to assume the left goes first. The right gets precedence. Okay, says Gemara further, Amar Rav Ashi, Chazina Rav Kana delo kapit. Rav Kana was not makbid one way or the other. Sometimes he'd put on the right one first, sometimes he would put on the left one first. That's what it sounds like he means. Tan Rabbanan, Kshu noel noel shal yimin v'achar kach noel shal smol, Kshu choleitz, cholit shal smol v'achar kach cholit shal yimin. Even though you put on your right shoe first, you take off your left shoe first, kshu roche, and that's a respect to the right foot also, by leaving it on for longer. Kshu roche, it's when you wash your body, roche shel yimin v'achar kach roche shel smol, you wash your right side before your left side. Kshu sach, when you anoint your body with oil, sach shel yimin v'achar kach shel smol, also right side first. V'arotza lachutz, lasuch kol gufo, sach rosho tchila. But if you're going to anoint your entire body with oil, then you don't start on the right or the left, you start with your head. Mipreishu melech al kol evarav, but not because because the head is just higher up on the body, but rather it's because it is considered to be the melech of the entire body. That's what Ben Yoyada points out. It means that melech doesn't mean tallest, doesn't mean highest. It means that's where a person's seichel and chachma is. A person's brain is in their head, so the head has to get precedence. Velo b'tfilin. Then we had said that a person is not supposed to go out with tefillin on Shabbos, but if he does, he's not chayiv a carbon chatos. So Amar Rav Safra lo teima libid man yamar Shabbos lavzman tefillin hu. That you don't have to say that the issur to go out with tefillin is only if you hold that Shabbos is not a zman tefillin and therefore it's a masui. Ela afilu man yamar Shabbos zman tefillin hu. Even if you hold that Shabbos is a zman that you wear tefillin, lo yetze, still you shouldn't go out with tefillin. Dilma asi lisubr shasran, because we're afraid that maybe when you take off your tefillin to go to the bathroom, you might end up carrying your tefillin for Amos and Rosh Hasharabim. Right? The Gemara said in Brachas Daf Chav Gimel that a person has to remove his tefillin for Amos away from a bathroom. So you understand that a person is going to be walking without the tefillin. He may grab the tefillin and he may end up carrying the tefillin for Amos in Rosh Hasharabim. V'ika demasni la seifa, and some have this discussion about whether Shabbos man tefillin or Shabbos lav zman tefillin, not in relation to the halacha of not going out wearing your tefillin, but in relation to the halacha that you're not chayiv a karbon chatos if you do go out wearing the tefillin. That v'imyatza eino chayiv chatos, and on that Amar Rav Safra lo teima libid man yamar Shabbos zman tefillin hu, that it's not only that you're not chayiv a chatos if you hold that Shabbos is a zman tefillin, ela afilu man yamar Shabbos lav zman tefillin hu eino chayiv chatos. Even if you hold Shabbos is not a zman tefillin, it's still not considered a maso. You're not going to be chayiv chatos. My time at derech malbush avida, because you're wearing it in the normal way that you would wear clothing. It's considered to be a malbush and not a masoi. Now we, for the rest of the daf, we're going to be discussing cameo, so amulets. So the Mishnah had said that a kameya mumcha you're allowed to go out with on Shabbos. So we have to first figure out, what does kameya mumcha mean? What's mumcha? The amulet has been proven to be effective, or the person who wrote the amulet has been proven to know what he's doing and to be effective at writing amulets? V'lo b'kameya b'zman she'enu min ha-mumcha. So he said you're not allowed to go out with a kameya if it's non effective, if it's non proven. So Amar Rav Papa lo te. You don't need both. You don't need the kameya and the gavra to be mumcha. As long as the person is a proven expert, even if the kameya is not a proven kameya. So dekadami, and it's meduyik in the Mishnah that way. Dekatani v'lo b'kameya b'zman she'eno mina mumcha. It sounds like the issur of going out depends on who the person is that wrote it. But any time it was an expert that wrote it, it would be mutter. V'lo katani b'zman she'eno mumcha. It says eno min a mumcha, that the kameya was not received from a mumcha. It didn't say bizman she'enu mumcha, that the kameya itself is not mumcha. So it says Gemara Shema Mina. So we do see from there that it's enough that it's made by a person who is a mumcha. You don't need the kameya itself to already be a proven kameya. Tulsa says, well, maybe you need both. Maybe they both need to be a mumcha. And when the Mishnah says this lashon, it's because if it would have said v'lo b'kameya she'enu mumcha, we would assume that it's good enough to just have the kameya. How do you know that you don't need both? So Tosa suggests that the Lashon She'enu Mumcha would go on the person and on the Kameya. But by saying Enu Mina Mumcha, that gets much more specific, and from the fact that the Mishnah said Enu Mina Mumcha, that can only make sense to be in relation to the person and not to the Kameya. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Kameya Mumcha. How do we define what's a Kameya Mumcha you're allowed to go out with on Shabbos? Kol Sharipe Vishana Vishilesh. If it happened three times, it was Merapi three times. So Echad Kameya Shel Ksav, Echad Kameya Shel Ikarin. And this is true whether the Kameya is made out of Kabbalistic writings or whether it's made out of Ikarin, it's made out of herbs or something. Echad Cholash Yesh Basakana, Echad Cholash Ein Basakana. And it's true whether it helped out someone who was dangerously ill or not dangerously ill. Lo Shenichbe, but not only in a case where a person already was ill, El Shalom. Even if it's a preventative medication and it works, you're allowed to tie it and untie it even Rosh Hashanah, as long as you don't tie it in a way that's entirely unusual, like on a chain or on a ring, and go into Rosh Hashanah, because that's not the way that people normally do it for refuah, and it doesn't look like you're using it for refuah. It looks like you're trying to use it as a tachshit, but it's not a tachshit, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So from the braisa that said ezu kameh mumcha, if it worked three times, it sounds like even if all three times were for the same person, it's still a kameh mumcha. So Gemara brings another braisa that seems to be a stira to that. Vatanya ezu kameh mumcha kol shuripe shlosha b'nei adam ke'echad. Not good enough that it worked three times. It has to have worked on three different people. So says Gemara lokasha halim chuy gavra. It all depends what you're trying to establish the effectiveness of the kameya on. If you're trying to be koveya that the person writing the kameya is an expert, so then if it's three different people by three different kameyos that he wrote that are not similar to each other, that person is known as a mumcha for all types of kameyos. And any kameya that he therefore produces, you're going to be allowed to go out with on Shabbos. So that's why the Brisa says three people, to let us know that we're talking about three different kameyos, because three people obviously must have slightly different illnesses from each other. But if he only wrote one type of kameya, so then he's not known necessarily as a mumcha, meaning he's an expert in that one area, like a doctor. Sometimes just because a person is a podiatrist doesn't mean that he can do what a cardiologist does. He has his area of expertise. But if you see that he's able to be effective on all different things, then you know that he's an expert in everything. The first price that said that it has to be ripe v'shana v'shilesh is just to prove that this kameh works for this ailment. So if it worked three times for this ailment, even if it wasn't three different people, then it's a proven kameh. Amar of Papa, Pshitali, Tlas Kameh, the Tlas Gavri, Tlas Tlas Zimni, Itmichi Gavra, Vitmichi Kameh. He says, look, if you have three different Kameos for three different people, and each of the Kameos worked for that Chola that it was meant for three different times, now you've proven the effectiveness of the person who wrote it, you've proven the effect. You have a Chazaka all around. You have a Chazaka on the guy who wrote it, you have a Chazaka on the Kameh to be effective. Tlasa kameh l'tlasa gavri, chad chad zimna. If a fellow writes three different kameos for three different patients, but each one only gets kameh from this guy one time, so and it works, gavri itmechei kameh lo itmechei. The guy who wrote these kameos is now a known expert and can be, he has a chazaka, but the kameh doesn't have a chazaka, because each kameh was only used once, so there was no chazaka on the kameh. But what about the following? Chad kameh l'tlasa gavri. Let's say you have one kameh that was used by three different people. That's also obvious. Kameh itmechi, gavrilo itmechi. You see that the kameh is a mumcha, but the guy you don't see anything about because it was used on, it was only one kameh that he ever wrote that was effective. So you don't have a chazak on the guy, but you do see that this kameh that he wrote is valuable. Boy Rav Papa, Tlasa kameh l'chad gavramai. Here's the shaila. What if there are three different types of kameos that he wrote for a single patient? So he wrote three scripts for one patient, and it worked all three times, but only for this one patient. Now, kameh vadei lo itmachi. Certainly the kameh itself does not become a kameh mumcha to assume that it's going to help for someone else, because each kameh that he wrote only worked once. But gavri itmachi or lo itmachi? But how do we view the guy who wrote it? Do we assume that he has a chazaka or not? Mi amrinan ha asilei? Do we say, well, look, he wrote three different scripts and each time it worked, so he has a chazaka that when he writes a kameh, it works. O dilma mazala dahi gavru hu dekamakabal ksava. Or maybe what's proven is, you're right, it's a chazaka on the gavra, but not the gavra who's writing the kameh, the gavra who's the patient who keeps receiving the kameh. Maybe he's proven himself to be an easy study, to be an easy patient that the kameh is going to work on him. So you don't have a clear, that's not clear, says the Gemara. Now Rashi writes, Rav Papa is only mesupak about the mumchius of the person. But as far as the mumchius of the kameh, where one kameh worked for three times on the same person, he's sure that we're told of the mumchius of the kameh, and the kameh becomes a mumcha, and it's not, and we don't assume it's about the mazel of the chola. Meaning Rashi's bothered. I don't understand. If the guy wrote one kameh that worked three times for one patient, the Gemara already said, oh, that's pasha, the kameh is now mumcha to work for that illness. Maybe the kameh is only mumcha to work for that person. So what Rashi explains is that whenever there's a possibility of being tola the mumchius in the gavra or in the kameh, we always prefer the kameh. We always say that it's going to be the kameh is going to be the mumcha. But over here, in the case that we're mesupik about, it's not about the kameh. It's definitely about the gavra. The question is, Which Gavra? So that's a Shaila. Is it the Gavra who wrote the Kameya or the Gavra who received the Kameya? But it's always about the Gavra. So Teiku, the Gemara leaves that issue unresolved. Ibayalu, Gemara raises a new Shaila. Kameya Yeshva Mishum Kedusha Adonayimba Mishum Kedusha. Is there Kedusha to a Kameya that has Shemos HaKodesh written in it? So says Gemara Lamai Hilchsa. What do you mean, is there Kedusha? Legabe what? Ilim Elatz Linim Mibrei Adleika. If you mean that if there's a fire on Shabbos, can you go and carry it out into a Chatzar that doesn't have an Eruv in order to save it from getting burnt? So Tashma, but we already know this. We're going to learn later in the Masechta that Habrachos v'Hakamein Aval B'Sheish Ve'Nosios Me'Inyanos Harbe Shabbatara. Even though it's got a lot of kedusha written in there, Ein Matzilah Some Me'Adleikum in the Sarfim B'Mekoman. You're not allowed to save it from a fire on Shabbos. It's got to get burnt wherever it is. So what's the Shaila about kedusha? Elalin Geniza. It must be that we're talking about, do the Kameos require Geniza? Do you need to put them in Shemus? So Tashma Hayakasov Al Yados Hakelim Al Kirei Amita. If on kelim that you have Shem Hashem written for some reason on different kelim that you have on pieces of on handles of kelim or something like that, you cut off that piece of the kli and you do put it into geniza. So these kameos that have shemos are certainly no less than yodos hakelim and kirei amita. They for sure need geniza. So that's not a suffix either. So on the one hand, does a kameo need to get saved from a deleika? We do not treat it with that kind of kedusha. On the other end, does it need geniza? Absolutely, we treat it with that kind of kedusha. So what's our shayla? Question is, can you wear it into the bathroom? Ma yesh ben kedusha v'asir. Do we say that it has kedusha and therefore it's asur to wear into the bathroom? O dilma ein ben kedusha v'shari. Or maybe no, it has no kedusha and therefore it's mutter to wear into the bathroom. That's what we mean when it comes to when it comes to kedusha. When it comes to the shayla about whether it has kedusha. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the answer to that question with the Tashema that's going to begin to answer that question. Everyone should have a wonderful day.